Parshas Emor. We have the last few parshas, Kedoshim, Emor, absolutely very, very chock-a-block with mitzvahs, with concepts, with ideas. There's a few I'd like to pick out this year and concentrate on. The Pasuk says in Perichot Aleph, it talks about Kohenim. Emor la Kohenim b'nei Aaron. Tell the Kohenim b'nei Aaron. V'marta leim nefesh leitama b'amot. Do not become contaminated to the dead. Ki nis'eira korav elov le'imoy, le'ovi, le'vnoy, le'bita, le'ochi, his brothers, his sisters, his mother, his father, seven kravim, and his wife. Leitama b'al b'amot le'cholo le'ikor. Then it says a pasuk. In other words, it talks about becoming tomei. Then the pasuk says, le'ikorchu korcho b'reisham. Layikrachu korcham b'reisham. Do not pull out a bald patch on your head. Upas zekonam leigalechu. Do not shave the peis of your beard. Ubivsorom layisatu sarates. And on your flesh, you should not make a scratch. These are all ideas of people used to do to show their mourning, to show their distress, to show their suffering by doing unusual things to the body in order to show their suffering in their own body. And he says, "Kadesh li lekeim, lechal shem lekeihem, yisvi kadesh."
Isn't that the problem of doing it on the
name? No, onto their own body. They do it to their own body.
What does Rashi mean by
Al-Mase? Because of the mace. For the mace. On the subject of the mace. So Rashi says, "Leikorchu korcho." Rashi says in pasuk hey, "Leikorchu korcho." So Rashi Al-Mase, we're referring to a dead person. V'haloi, says Rashi, af Yisrael huzeru akach. Klal Yisrael are also warned not to do this. In other words, this parasha begins, seemingly, they're speaking to Kohenim. Emor la Kohenim b'nei Aaron. Then the pasuk talks about a particular idea of becoming Tomei. That's reasonable to explain it as talking about Kohenim. But in this pasuk, Yikachu kol chabareishan pasam leikalechu, seems to be a mitzvah dafka to Kohenim. On that Rashi says, no. Says Rashi, it's not. It's to Klal Yisrael as well. Ela lefish ne'ema b'Yisrael b'nei neichem. So I said, perhaps we don't believe from the Kohenim, because they're a Shavah, da-da-da-da-da. Because the Rashi says, we have different lemudim, it's by Yisrael one thing, maybe means something else. Not, looking at Rashi, it's lomdus. Rashi says lomdus, different lemudim. But the kasha is still not answered. Even with Rashi, I'm going through Rashi exactly means, the details. But the kasha isn't answered. The kasha is, if this is a posuk dealing with clarifying various halachas within Yikrachu Korcha, etc., why bring in by Hilchos Kohenim? This is Hilchos Kohenim. It's opening up to say for now, Emor Kohenim, this is Hilchos Kohenim. If it's referring to Klal Yisrael as well, and weren't clarifying exactly how and what we meant beforehand by Yikrachu Korcha, why bring in now Dafka when he talks about Kohenim? That's the side of now. So Shamshon Fall here is after something unbelievable. There is, let's say in the Goethe world, there is a concept of hack, match, and dispatch. In other words, the three times when a person comes, you know, to his to the father or to the minister or whatever, a chaplain, whatever it may be, hack, match, and dispatch. Yeah, when you get hack when you're born, match, and dispatch, right? So that's the time, hack, match, and dispatch. So the three times you come in and you say hi or you say goodbye, whatever it may be, and that is the connection they have with Ruchnius, as it were. Unfortunately, in the rabbis in these outlying neighborhoods, you know, I don't know, in Stoke-on-Trent, you know, the great synagogue of Stoke-on-Trent, the Nebuchadnezzar, Freyden, the secular Jews, generally have make an appearance to shul when it comes to something to do with death. You know, when it comes to, you know, they grow a beard and they say kaddish, the transliteration, and they, you know, you come to shul and Nebuch, and he comes to the end of Aleinu and there's choir all davening, suddenly comes to kaddish and there's 35 different people saying kaddish at all different speeds and all different things. They take a tremendous amount of respect when it comes to a dead person. You won't find the mirrors are all covered. Suddenly, you know, Shabbos, they're not so important. When it talks about a mace, then they're all into it. and the rabbonim want the rabbi to bless the mace, and they want the rabbi to come to the services, and it's a big thing. Why is that? Very simply, a lot of it's superstition. You know, when it comes to dead people, you don't want to be haunted by the. A lot of it's superstition, but it's more than that. It's the idea that religion has got to do with death. In other words, I am very happy to recognize that there is a religion and there is a God, but as long as it doesn't interfere with my day-to-day life. In other words, I don't mind recognizing and appreciating there's a Hashem and there's a religion and a certain minhagim and a certain halachas. That's fine, but it's all got to do with something, a person dying. Because how often does dying happen? You know, and it's certainly not going to happen to me. And yeah, so it doesn't necessarily affect my particular life. And therefore, when Dad dies, what does that mean for that? On a day-to-day life, on the regular, how am I supposed to conduct myself on a regular life? Religion has nothing to do with life. Religion's got to do with death. And by doing so, by recognizing that in that particular way, basically, they're giving themselves a hechsher. They're giving themselves a way out, to opt out. And be Jewish, or be whatever religion they may be, at a time when it's not going to threaten their day-to-day practices. Says the parasha, Koyanim are the representation of those people who the rabbis, yeah, the representation of the ministers of the world, Klal Yisrael. Says the parasha that Koyanim, who represent the Yiddishkeit, we want to dafka, specifically distance them from anything that's got to do with death. Anything got to do with death, there's no Koyanim. When it comes from the tummy to a dead person, Koyanim are out. You go to a hospital where there's a dead person in the hospital, Koyanim may not even come in. Why? Because Koyanim who represent the Yiddishkeit, Koyanim represent Kirva, closeness to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we want to show that they have nothing, they're far distant, they're far, far away than anything got to do with death. Why? Because what's close? Close. They're close to Korbonus. They're close to coming close to Kodesh Baruch Hu on a daily basis, bringing Korbonus, taking a Trumas and Mice, it's got to do with your business. These people, when people had business, never had, you know, they never had stocks and shares, they had fields, they had vegetable patches. A coin, you give it to a coin, you got trumas, you give it to a coin, you got trumas mice, you give it to a coin. That's day to day. You have a few sheep, races a gate, you give it to a coin. You got parts, you give it to a coin. And therefore the Torah says, no, a coin is being involved over here, push the coin far away. Well, nothing to do with a coin, got to do with death. It mustn't contaminate itself to a death. If you want to do with anything to do with cooperation, any of these forms of showing your distress over death, a kohen is specially told not to do it. Why? Because you want to distance the idea that religion has got to do with death. The religion is alive. Lahavdil, you go to a shul, and you go to a church. No, you don't go to a church, but you see what the church is. It's dark. Yeah, it's dark, and it's very. Not very lively, you know. And there's this thing, and it's like, I've got this fellow speaking at the back there. He always saving us. Alright? And you go to a steeple, you go to a place where people is yeshiva. You know, this guy's davening, you know, and he's shuckling. And it's alive. It's alive because the way Yiddishkeit is, it's basing itself with life, connecting life with the religion. It's not something which is dead. And from some old ladies, you know, some old ladies with their hats from the 1960s. They bought from Oxfam. Yeah, they come with their little hats on Sunday mornings, and that's a Thai community. This is life. It's process. It's bubbling. It's fizzing. It's that's who this guy is. And therefore, that good koinim mustn't contaminate itself with death. Lekochu kol comparison pasulam lekalechu have nothing to do with anything but to do with death. You got to do with life, the day to day business, the day to day agriculture, the day to day raising of animals. That's a koinim. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, Kedoshim to you, to be Kodesh. You know the Pasuk says, Leitruchu kocha bereisam. Don't make a kocha bereisam. And next pasuk kedoshim yir elikehem. But he held the same elikehem. After mafarshim, this is the Maril Diskin. Maril Diskin asked, what has leitruchu kocha bereisam? What does making a kocha, making a bald patch on the head, have to do with kedoshim yir elikehem? My idea was perhaps the reason why he invented couples, you know, cover up the bald patch. But that's not the fact he says. The Yikuchu Koch operation, not a bald patch, Kadoshim Yir Elikeichem, because this is Rain. What's the connection? So he brings down, fascinating me, I'm not sure he brings it down from the Rambam or not, but the Issa of Yikuchu Koch is because we know, in Yiddish anyway, a priest is called a Galach. You heard that? A priest called a Galach. What's a Galach? A Galach is really what we know as a monk. Basically, they put a bolt and they'd cut this area here, and they'd make an unusual haircut. Yeah, they have a friar. What's it called? A
friar tuck.
A friar tuck. Yeah. So, I'm sorry. Yeah. Or the monks. The monks shave for the hair. So in many. Careful! Until I say the end of this verse, don't jump at me. Yeah. Or the Hare Kriskas, right? They have a little thing at the back. That. Hair and the way they have their hair and the way is very, very much a representation of their religion. The galochim, they walk around with his dog collars, right? Or the monks walking around with his orange tunics. Why do they do this? Why do they dress specially different to their nation? Why? What for?
To set them aside,
to show that they're different to everyone else, right? And therefore the Torah says over here, do not make a bald patch. What does that mean? Says the Torah, you don't need that. Says the Torah, don't think that you need to be recognized as being kadosh by having a bald patch or dressing differently. Kadoshim to you, be kadosh. In other words, don't make any shortcuts. Don't try and be different by dressing differently, and that's how you're different. You can dress differently because halacha tells you how to dress, that's fine, but that is not what makes you kaddish. Kaddishim to you, don't think you can get away by kaddishim to you by just dressing differently. You've got to be really kaddish. Kaddishim to you is being recognized as being different by your actions, not by the way you dress. It does not mean, again, let's clarify, this does not mean that there's no way of there's no mode of dress in Yiddishkeit. There is, there's sneers and the way, there is, of course there is. But the idea is, like Yichuch Kochom, to not be recognized as being different by the way you dress. Be recognized as different by being Kodesh, by being absolutely Kodesh. That's how you're supposed to be different. Kodeshim to you. The Pasuk carries on. The Pasuk says, Vikidashtoi. And you shall sanctify them. Because the lechem of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's being makriv. Kodesh yilo ki kodesh ani Hashem mekadishchem. Kodesh should be kodesh because I Hashem have sanctified him. Now, I was at Sheva Brachos last year in Parashas Korach. I'm not sure they said it with this vort, but this vort is an unbelievable vort. And it's got to do with this Chatnis Parsha. Rav Chanoich Erentroy, he's our base in London, based in. He was by Sheva Brachos. His grandson got married to my niece in Gateshead. So he's at a Sheva Brachos. The Erentroys, by the way, are a family of everyone is literally a godel. So Avram Erentroy is one of Magidi, is one of Rosh Hashiva, the Sunday Yeshiva. His brother is a. They're all tremendous Melech Chachamim. And he said over this vort, and he connected it to his father. He said, the Pasuk says in Korach, the Pasuk says that they all put down their staff, they all put down their sticks, and the next day they found out that Aaron's stick flowered, and they took back their sticks. Pasuk took back his sticks. After Zayin the Torah, B'Srotskin, he asks, why did they take back their sticks? Levi take back their stick because they showed that they are special. But why did it say that the other Shabbatim took back their stick? Why did Rosh Hashanah Reuven take back his stick? To show that he lost? So that he wasn't chosen as that mason? He wasn't chosen as that saver? Why did he take back his stick? Levi said, everyone else would be embarrassed to hide it. Right? What's the deal? Why did Saver Levi take back? Why did Saver Reuben or Saver Shimon take back their stick? So he said, unbelievable, he said, says as Maimon Torah, he said, because very soon Klal Yisrael are going to come into Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to be living tachas istachas gesmein istachas te'enoi. Yisrael will be living under his vines, under his trees, and living in beautiful homes and beautiful farms. And they're going to look at this Saver Levi and think to themselves, ah, a snorer. Some of the chachamim, these guys learning in Kol Nebuch. You know, where's their cars, where their homes? Nebuch, right? Says the Shvatim then, who are in Dor Deo and still in Midbo, still had reality, still knew where they were. They said that we're going to keep our sticks, because we're going to show our children later on that you should just know that we wanted to be Saver Levi. We wanted to be that nation that was sat in Kol all our life and didn't have any money. We wanted to be that nation who owed absolutely nothing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu never chose us. This is our stick, this is going to prove it. We weren't successful, Nebuch, we've got to go to business. Nebuch, we are the chosen nation. We are the chosen tribe that can go and stay in learning and be supported. But we tried. Don't think that this is our ideal to be living the way we're living. It's not our ideal. Our ideal is to be a Saver Levi. And we tried. And therefore, don't come and complain to us later on, why weren't you a Saver Levi? We tried. We just weren't a Saver Levi. We weren't Zoicha. That's why he had it. He said his father was a rabbi. Chamoich said his father was a rabbi in a small village near London, a little village, a one-eyed town near London, just after the Second World War. And he said he earned nothing and nothing the whole week. He earned, I don't know the currency then. He earned nothing. He had a little book, and his book he used to write every single penny where he went during the week. Two shillings, I don't know how much it is, two pennies for bread, a shilling for meat, whatever. I don't know how much he thinks, right? He used to write down everything. One, and after his nifter, he went looking through his books, and he'd see a long list. One each week he'd have about 30 things on the list, exactly what he bought. One week there were 3 things on the list. There was bread, there was coffee, and there was a Rambam. What happened? Rambam. You had to buy a Rambam. So the children didn't have everything. They didn't have butter that week. They didn't have cereal that week. They didn't have, what else? Imagine what he had already. But they had Rambam. They had Rambam. That's what they had. The father bought Rambam the week before the mayor starved, the week after the mayor starved. But they had Rambam and they had bread. That's all they needed. And that's what I wanted to show. That's my idea. The idea is that we want to be a Saver Levi, and that's why Yezoicha to such children are the Aaron Troyes. That's why Yezoicha. From made three Aaron Troyes in a Boki Besach, Chorin Levracha, Zeke Fadim Levracha, Boki Besach, the son of Manasseh Rosh Hashiva. Boki Besach. That's how you get such children. From made three. Says a prophet over here, V'kidashik is lechem elekechu who matcher is Besach like this. Get a knock on the door. The guy sitting there, he's got this big house, and there's this Talmud Chochem standing by his front door, presses his button, his little eye looks in. Yes? Hello, I'm coming collecting for, I don't know, this and this, Kodal. If you want to leave an envelope, you know, I'll see what I can do for you. You know, if you're lucky, they even answer. Sometimes they just see you there and just think they ignore, right? So how do we get the correct perspective? How do we begin to appreciate that what Ratzon Hashem is? Says the prophet like this: V'kidashtoi. These people are people who, unfortunately, do not have their own money. You can get chayim, you can get from. Okay, but they generally are people who are shnoris. It's people who are being supported by Klal Yisrael. V'kidashtoi. However, by no means do you look down on them. V'kidashtoi, you sanctify them. How? Ki es lechem elekecho hu makriv means he is being makriv the lechem of your HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Imagine you have somebody coming into your house to build an extension, and therefore you pay the contractor a certain amount and you pay the workers a certain amount, right? The contractor tells you, do me a favor, don't pay me as much, pay the workers directly. And therefore it makes it easier for tax purposes, whatever, is pay the workers directly. So you pay the workers directly and you pay the contractor as well. Who are these people working for? Who do they have to answer to? To you or to the contractor? To the contractor. They're not your workers. They're his workers. It just happens to be that you're giving them money like that. So the pasuk v'kidashtoi kes lechem elekechahu makriv, it means they are eating the bread of Rabbeinu Shleilam. The pasuk says mi kazochu mishulchan gavoya kazochu, the Klal Yisrael are giving them bread, but they're eating a Kodesh Baruch Hu's bread. In other words, you owe a Kodesh Baruch Hu that money, and they're eating the bread of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kis lechem elekechahu makriv, they're eating the bread of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, you're not feeding them, they don't owe you anything. What they're eating, you're giving your food to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feeding them, and therefore they don't deserve to thank you for anything. It's your obligation towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kis lechem elekechahu hu makriv. Even more than that, says Sub Sefer. Es lechem elekechahu hu makriv, the prophet Gemara says, and it brought down it many times, that when you give your korban and the kohenim eat the korban, that is when you get the kapara. Yes, brought down the lashon. You eat, you bring the korban, and the eating of the kohenim is your kapara. How does that work? The idea is, says the pasuk, don't look down at them in that fact of a kiddushin. Why? Kes lechem elekechahu makriv. By you giving them support, by you feeding them, they are not only are you not giving them money, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving it to them, they are giving you something. It's lechem lechechahu makriv. It's like bringing something to the Mizbeach. If a person brings a korban to the Mizbeach, do you think the Mizbeach owes you something? Of course not. It's you bringing a korban. When you give money to Tamil Chachamim, when you give money to Kohenim, it's lechem lechechahu makriv. He is being makriv a korban for you. He's helping you. Unfortunately, not many people learn this. But this is the idea. The idea is, when a person is supporting Torah, first of all, he's not giving this person standing by the door money, it's giving his obligations to Rabbeinu Shalom. And it happens to be the Rabbeinu Shalom's rotzen to this person to get it. They're not giving this money to him. It's not as if he is a snob that I'm giving money to. It's not to Rabbeinu Shalom, and Rabbeinu Shalom wants him to get the money. And more than that, don't think for one second that you're giving him money. He's giving you. He's giving you the schus that you have to be mechazik Torah, the schus that you have to encourage people to learn and to help people to learn. That is the biggest schus that is ki mo'ilam. People say that the secular people, the country called the Bnei Yeshiva, they call them parasitim, parasites. They call them parasites. Why? They don't go to the army and they don't pay taxes. Of course, when you buy a loaf of bread and we're paying, you know, 1.5 shekel, that's not called tax for some reason. But they're not paying taxes. The Shach used to say, Mizan and parasitim,